Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ed Carbajal. Ed, what is going on?
Well, we got a brand new Bellator card coming our way this week from Belfast. It's the first full only Bellator event, not mixed with PFL. Well, that we've noticed yet, outside of the way they're handling press releases and stuff like that. But you know, the homeboy Aaron Jeffries fighting on the card yet again, putting another man between him and Johnny Eblen. He faces Fabian Edwards. Main event is Corey Anderson, and
Carl Moore.
Carl Moore,
the Irishman.
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty interesting as we make our picks, and you'll see why when we start doing our predictions. But before that, we were waiting on news on where to watch outside of, you know, finding out on your own. Like I did when they did the Bellator versus PFL card, you know, I had to seek it out, found it on DAZN MMA. And then Ariel Helwani teased a little bit. I don't know why you needed to tease this on fight week. Like, it would have been nice to know ahead of time. I'm not sure what the reason for holding the announcement, but we found out through Don Davis posting a tweet on Twitter that Bellator's new home is on Max, or HBO Max, whatever used to be HBO, Cinemax, the streaming service. I like the announcement because it's a new territory for them. It's the first time that HBO, or, you know, the company kind of like gets into MMA. So them being first I think it's good because of the possibilities. You know, we don't know what's going to happen, but they got out of boxing a little while ago. Now it looks like they're getting into MMA because everybody wants to see me to get into MMA. So I don't know. What was your reaction?
Better than nothing. Not much more, if I'm being honest. I mean, I like that you say that they're the first to beat HBO, and there was the heyday of HBO boxing, which makes me, I guess, have a little bit, but to me, it's just another subscription. Like it just seems like, okay, here's a question for you. So is it airing on HBO or is it only on demand on the app, Max app?
I mean, they're using the Max logo on everything. And
so like you can't just go on HBO East at 1 p.m. on Friday and watch it on your television.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Showtime, you could watch it on the app, but it was also on the Showtime networks.
Yeah.
You had your East and West Coast feed. So, like, is it, you know, because that's going to be huge as far as, like, views, because nobody's going to know this is happening Friday. Like,
well, that's my gripe with them waiting this long. Mm-hmm. Like, if they're going to be like, oh, not that many people know about it, it's because you announced it on Tuesday, days before the actual event. I don't know. I don't know where the decision making. I think this is a combination of having too many hands in the cookie jar as far as like folks in control. Because again, you know, you got Don Davis, who's the chairman, and Peter Murray, who's, you know, the CEO, and then, you know, Ray Seffels, of president of this, that, and the other, and it's just like, you know, that's the thing about the UFC. You know, the president is Dana White. You know, he's making decisions. Yeah, he has a team that he sits down with, Hunter Campbell and Sean Shelby, and like, you know, when it comes to matchmaking and stuff like that. But, and then obviously they're the hierarchy with the TKO folks. But like, at least, you know, when you look at the brand of the UFC, you know that the guy is Dana White. Before this was Scott Coker. You know what I mean? And I just feel like, I don't know if they're trying not to step on each other's toes or whatever the case may be. But it's just, I don't know. I'm not really feeling it.
How they're handling it. Anyway. You know, I'm trying to figure out how I feel about this, and it kind of feels like it's a bit of a almost like a relationship that, you know, has been over for like 3 months, but you're just like kind of going with a date to a wedding or like family events just to kind of keep carrying it on, but you kind of know it's over. Like, that's the kind of the way I feel about this. Now, there is 8 events scheduled through the end of the year, so hopefully Hopefully that continues to grow. And if you know, like, there's a big part of me that wishes like HBO would just maybe want to really dive into this and like, you know, like maybe take over Bellator in a year. Maybe PFL just kind of poaches the fighters that they want out of this deal that they got for basically nothing. And then they leave it with HBO and we give HBO a chance to see if that's what they want to do or, you know, but, but I don't know how this goes. I mean, PFL just seems like it's a matter of time before it just disappears. And I don't know why I think that, but I mean, you've got Ngannou again coming out that he's saying that essentially he has no plans of fighting in PFL. His next fight, he wants to do is boxing already again.
Yeah. I saw that where he said that he feels like boxing owes him something. And I'm like, what exactly do they owe you? I mean, you're literally brand new to boxing and that we saw how brand new you were when you faced the top heavyweight. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was somewhat of a link. I don't feel like wasn't the word he was trying to use, and I'm not trying to translate for him per se, but I feel like I took it more as like he feels like there's something left behind there. Like that's how I can't let it end. And I understand that, but if your business partner is the PFL and they're the whole reason you essentially even had these opportunities, none of these opportunities happen without as much as I badmouth the PFL and some of these guys, none of this happens without Don Davies and these guys signing Ngannou and giving him what he wanted. If he's with the UFC, he doesn't get these boxing matches. So I do feel like there should be some loyalty on his side where he should really just go there and do his best to promote a mega PFL event and see what he can do to help that company out, you know, as opposed to just completely helping himself out, which he's done now. I mean, PFL let the man become a rich, you know, I mean, when it comes out at the end of the year, combat highest paid people, he's going to be somewhere in that.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be somewhere on that list, not too far from the top. Yeah. So I think he does owe that to PFL. But I like that they're going to Ireland. I feel sorry for the Irish fans because Bellator had kind of built up a nice rapport there, it seems like. And while they're getting this event, like, there's nothing really on the horizon. I don't know if they have another one scheduled down the line. I don't think so off the top of my head. But I feel like they kind of lose out on the big scene of MMA a little bit if that gets pulled from under them. And I don't know, but I will be interested to see what it looks like. I don't know. Do you think there's going to be any changes? To me, it can't just be the Bellator we're used to, right? Is Michael C. Williams still an employee? You know what I mean?
I think we'll find that out on Friday. But I mean, obviously, if you watched the PFL, the last event they had, it doesn't look like they're getting rid of John McCarthy, which to my. You know,
so but is Mauro Ranallo under contract? That's what we don't really know, right? We have no idea who could be broadcasting this. It could be, you know, I really don't know. I don't know what the look's going to be like. Is it going to be the same kind of feel, you know, watching it? You know, I mean, all these promotions have their own things that stand out when you watch it. Is there going to be a ramp? Is it just going to be walk out through the crowd? I mean, how much money, basically what I'm getting at is how much money is PFL really putting into this? Is this going to be a bare bones Bellator? Like this is taking place at the casino by my house where they don't put a giant stage and, you know, it's like their old Indian reservation cards, or are they going to treat this like it's, you know, I imagine it's going to be a healthy crowd in Ireland. It seems to always,
they
seem to always do well there.
Yeah. So maybe because of that they'll, and it's the first solo Bellator one. Maybe they'll go big on this one, and then we'll see as it goes on. But they've already kind of announced like their schedule for the rest of the year. So I don't know if the Max HBO folks are going to start like saying, "Hey, you know, I don't know how they measure their numbers through a streaming service and who's watching what." But I guess if enough people watch it, maybe they'll put some money into it. Kind of, you know, I don't know if they're going to get the Viacom, you know, Paramount, CBS investment. The Kevin K level, not the last guy, the guy that's ruining Paramount CBS right now. I forget his name already. The red face guy, Bob Backish, you know, the guy that pretty much let Showtime Boxing and Bellator fold because he just wanted to save money. But, we'll see, man. I mean, it's a new year. We're still in the first quarter. So I think we just got to see what happens. So, I mean, while we move in to see what happens, let's look at the card. And so for folks watching the video, yes,
the good news is that the PFL is taking the lead from the UFC when it comes to making sure that your website is the number one in the world and you're really the top promotion. Yeah. So, Ed, I present this fight card, please.
Here's the main event, folks.
Main event. looks like Datwin silhouette versus Datwin silhouette. You know, yeah. At least they gave us last names. At least they gave us the last names. We didn't even get the first name. So we have Anderson versus Moore in the main event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's God. Corey Anderson versus Carl Moore for folks that. So, like, if you click the bio, I wonder if they even give them their picture on the bio. All right, at least you get the
there we go
the picture of the fighters from the bio. Even though, I mean, you couldn't just square that up and put them. I don't know, man. Anyway, they've had time to do this, but you know, I read an article. I think it was Business Insider, or whatever. They're talking about the Saudi-backed PFL, you know, buying the promotion, and it's just like I don't know. I honestly, again, waiting this long, all that stuff. It is what it is, but that being
there are
said,
some good fights. Good fights and good fighters are on this card. So let's just we will enjoy it when it happens at 1 p.m. on Friday. But yeah, so the main event you meant Corey Anderson, Carl Moore, Corey Anderson coming off of his little run there against Nemkov, picked up a win against Phil Davis in his last outing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is for the open light heavyweight championship. The vacant is the word I was looking for there. So I think Corey Anderson wins. I think Carl Moore is the Irish guy on the card that they put on here. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be best for Bellator if Carl Moore actually won, though. Having a, you know what I mean? Like, for the future of Bellator, at least you have an Irish champion, especially for the people of Ireland. Do they want to have events coming back there and it become more of a thing? So, but I'm going to take Corey Anderson to win. I feel like he's the world-class fighter, and, you know, he's not fighting Nemkov. Yeah. Is basically how that one comes down.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. Anderson was my pick to win, too, just because it just seems like he keeps getting underestimated too. And, you know, it's a fight that, again, like, I mean, like, I don't know. It's kind of new for all these guys coming off of what Bellator is and what they're going to be. So obviously with the new folks, with the new bosses, it's in their best interest to win. And I think Corey Anderson, if anybody understands that side of the business, it's him.
The fight co-main event. Good fight. And it's the one where they have two photos of the fighters is one of the latest ones that they added to the card, which is kind of odd. But we get Patricio Pitbull versus Jeremy Kennedy, kind of not out of nowhere. I think some people maybe thought Pico would be the next in line, but Pico just came off of a fight. So here we are, Pitbull versus Kennedy. Good fight. Kennedy coming off wins over Pico, although there was an injury involved, Emmanuel Sanchez, Pedro Carvalho. Meanwhile, Pitbull, the all-time GOAT of Bellator, is coming off of two losses, which is interesting because only one was in his weight class and the other one was in Ryzen, probably not the same exact weight class, but not a different organization. I kind of feel like it's odd that we have the you know, perhaps the two featherweight goats in Volkanovski, arguably, and Pitbull, both on losing streaks at this point. And it all kind of started by fiddling outside of their division and not just being maybe who they are or what they're best at.
Yeah.
So with that said, I'm a little confused on how to pick this fight. There's a big part of me that thinks like, well, I mean, we've been through this. We talked about it. I don't even remember what fight it was, but this is the old guard, new guard. Where are we going here? Did Pitbull's run? Is his days of being a champion over? Based off his last couple fights, it's not out of the question I mean, he got worked by Pettis, and Suzuki this, finished him.
Yeah, I think this is the fight where we see if that's actually the case. I know 2Ls is already kind of setting the tone for that. We've talked about before how that, I mean, this sport, especially lately, the younger guys keep eating the older guys, and the guard changes more frequently than ever I remember this it happening, you know, before the ESPN era took over the UFC. So the fighters are getting younger, they're just getting better, the training regimens are changing, and you know, it's all getting harder, and you know, the body can only take so much. So we'll see. I mean, it'd be nice if he can come back to it, but we also know that, you know, it wouldn't be. He's the last guy that beat Michael Chandler before he went to the UFC. I wouldn't be surprised if he wants an out so he can try to make that happen.
I was just gonna say that. Yeah. We're kind of. It would be nice to know his contract situation right now. And does he have a championship clause where he can't leave? Mm-hmm. If he loses this fight, is he free from? I mean, what? There's a lot that could potentially be on the table because, with the uncertainty again of with the lack of like any kind of commitment to any of this stuff, it feels like I gotta feel like that's an option for some of these guys. And I'm not saying he's gonna throw the fight, but I wonder if that mentally could, if that were the case, would that, obviously I would think that would mentally play into it. Your training. Your,
yeah.
Do you start going? Is a decision loss the worst thing ever? If I get out of this contract and I can go fight,
and I just feel like I feel like they're, whatever contracts they have, they're probably not as sticky as UFC contract. I think we talked about this before. Like it's probably easy outs for anybody on these contracts, especially PFL. Like their main model is the seasonal format, so that there's no guarantee that anyone's going to stick around. Unless it's popular, harder. Yeah. So
I don't know if the contracts are any different. It's just that the UFC can just pay lawyers to hold you for all time and eternity. So I don't, you know, but yeah, top two good fights, and then this one right here.
This is a really good fight. I mean, it's again, it's Fabian Edwards against Aaron Jeffrey. Fabian Edwards is Leon Edwards' his brother, right? Is his brother? Yeah, I think so. And Aaron Jeffrey is obviously you know, he was next in line to face Johnny Eblen. We got to say it, you know, with these two weird silhouettes that they have here, when Jeffrey first went to Bellator, he already, you know, Jeffrey's got a reputation. He was a CFFC champion, you know, I was on Contender Series, and for folks that don't know him, he's one of the fighters, one of the more popular fighters that rocks a mullet and made it part of his brand and everything like that. So when he went to Bellator, if you remember, Bellator had a silhouette, but they put a mullet over at least to kind of run with that. And here you got these two same, like, I don't know, PlayStation silhouettes that they're using. And and for all the, you know, they keep talking about Fabian Edwards' relationship to Leon Edwards in the press release, and you still can't get the man's picture up on the matchup thing. But anyway, Fabian Edwards is not Leon Edwards, and Aaron Jeffrey is obviously somebody whose career I followed since before he was on anyone's radar, and his fights in CFFC. I know he's very anxious to fight, and knows that he was next in line for the middleweight title. He wants that shot. The poor kid keeps getting these hurdles thrown in front of him as he's chasing his dream, and he never lets anything deter him from it. So it's hard for me. I don't pick against Aaron Jeffrey. So that's my,
I think it's going to be a good fight, but I'm also going to pick him to win. I think it's a bigger fight for him, a more important fight for him. I feel like Fabian Edwards could lose this fight and sign with the UFC tomorrow. I feel like they would just reach out to him like, no, you know, it's Leon's younger brother. If Leon says sign my brother, I don't think there's even probably hesitation at this point, with the good standing that Leon has apparently with the UFC right now. So I feel like that's got to play it. I mean, Jeffrey is fighting right now for a spot kind of in the,
it's like fighting, you know, for the same spot that he already had, but it's
correct.
Even the press release is like two number one contenders. I'm like, Where are you getting your ranking? They had a rankings system. Yeah. Like, I don't know where you're getting two number one contenders from. You can't have two number one contenders. I mean, like, I don't know where they're getting that from or who wrote that, but either way, it's an eliminator. Yeah.
It's an eliminator. And Edwards, is coming off of the title fight. So maybe that's what they meant by number one contender. You know, his last fight was a title fight.
Yeah.
But everybody kind of thought that the natural order was going to be Jeffrey was next in line for Eblen.
Yeah.
And that was, I think that was understood among those that were kind of really paid attention to Bellator. I think he wins. I think he wins. I do think the reach of Edwards is obviously always dangerous. But I think Jeffrey I think he figures out a way to bulldog this fight. I don't know if it's going to be pretty, but I could see him scrapping his way through a good back and forth and picking
my own. My only concern is him fighting over there in Belfast. I can't think of, I'd have to look as far back in his record, but I can't, I mean, he's used to traveling in the North American region between Canada and the US for training and all that stuff. So I'm not sure if the going over there to Ireland is, he is a nutritionist though, so I would imagine whatever it is, he knows how to handle his body, right? So I don't pick against the guy. He's got a crazy, crazy, crazy strong heart and focus. And James Gallagher versus Leandro Higo. Gallagher, one of the more popular local fighters. Somehow they couldn't get a picture of him on here, but I don't know, man.
Right now he's on the card. I mean, James Gallagher makes a young Yair Rodriguez seem like he was, Igor Vovchanchin fighting nine times a month and stuff like that with his.
I agree with you, but I will say this about Gallagher: yes, injury prone, but usually it's way before the fight. So the fact that we're days away, I'm not gonna,
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. He's not a pullout merchant at the last minute. That's plenty fine. Tough fight. Plus,
it's in his hometown. So,
James Gallagher's perfectly healthy, I think he chokes out Leandro Higo. I think he finishes him. Or wins convincing decision in a three round fight. Higo's tough, but I do believe Gallagher is a talented fighter. Who's had that injury bug. And his loss to Patchy Mix don't look so bad anymore. Mm-hmm. You start looking at some of that stuff and it just doesn't look terrible. So I'm going to go with him. I know Higo is 22-6, has had some really good wins and some tough losses, but I feel like Gallagher wins this fight. I'm looking to see his other loss. His other loss was early to Ricky Bandejas, who's not a terrible loss. Again, that was one of the early ones. That was the coming out party for Bandejas early in his little run there. So, I don't think it's bad, but I'm gonna go with Gallagher to win that fight.
Yeah. The only, I agree with you. The only thing I'm thinking is fighters that have a little bit of durability and kind of like pressure Gallagher, you mentioned the Bandejas fight and stuff like that. I think if he gets popped a few times, Higo could be a problem for him. But I just feel like there's a lot. He's been on the shelf for a little while. I think time off can benefit fighters. And plus, again, to the fact that he's playing to his folks over there in Belfast. I see a lot of energy coming his way. And that's kind of like they don't separate. So the PFL Bellator website, it's Bellator.com, but there's PFL logo all over it. But they don't really separate prelims from main card and all that stuff. I guess they're still getting used to that. So, but we've kind of went through what is the main card.
There's Kerryon Clark, 8-0 out of Ireland's also on the card. He was on a lot of Bellator events. Luke Trainer, recognize him. Grant Neal, which is that's a heck of a good fight for
prelims. Yeah. Right.
It's their typical Irish card with a couple title fights. Usually the Irish fights didn't seem to, I don't remember a lot of title fights there. Maybe Cyborg fought maybe. I don't know if you fought Kavanaugh out there or not. But you know, it's a good card for the Irish fans. They deserve it. You know, it's not terrible. I hope it goes well. I hope it looks clean. I hope it goes smoothly on HBO. I hope they have good pacing. I hope everything is not like it's like we're just throwing this back to, you know.
Antoine Willis says, "Hey, what's up, boys? I actually really like this Bellator card." Yeah, me too. I like it too. And he asked, "Do you guys think Bellator could have truly competed with the UFC and gotten into arenas and stuff?" Well, they were certainly trying to, Antoine. I mean, they got into a Madison Square Garden a couple of times, and I think they got into better arenas out near you, Matt, when they went to like San Jose and San Jose,
they'd sell out 15,000-16,000. Mm-hmm. San Diego usually get about 10,000-12,000. Okay, you know, during the day when they have their biggest fights, you know, the Forum out here, the Kia Forum, they, you know, 8,000-10,000. They were clearly the number two organization in the country. Mm-hmm. Any other talk was just hater talk by people that didn't want to acknowledge them. And you know, they were bigger than Strikeforce ever really got. I know Strikeforce was great. Strikeforce was probably the coolest organization outside of maybe Pride, but for an American organization, it was probably the coolest, like hippest fight organization that I feel like ever kind of existed. In modern MMA.
And even when like that's one thing I think a lot of people are starting to forget. I mean, there's people that know it like you and I, but like these newer fans are forgetting that when the UFC absorbed or, you know, bought Strikeforce, it was all their top tier people that got into the UFC and won titles and had long runs. And you know, the Daniel Cormier, Ronda Rousey, and all the other fighters that you know, it's they were Strikeforce fighters. So, you know,
dude, I met Cormier I didn't even know who he was. I knew his name because I had saw he fought Johnson down in Australia, I think, for some wild fight in his like debut, and I'd read up on him. But all those guys filtered through. People forget that they were on HD Net. They had such a great deal with, you know, the show there with Boss Rutten and all those guys being at a lot of the big weigh-ins, the Carano fight, Inside MMA, Ron Kruk and all those guys. I mean,
that show.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we kind of dogged some of it back then, but that was a great show that really helped
ahead of its time. Yeah.
Ahead of its time. And something that I don't know why we have it now, but it's all like, you know,
it's on ESPN and it's all UFC. Yeah.
It's all, they're all like in-house paid people. So there's no real opinions given on anything. Everything is, you know, I think scripted essentially for the vast majority of it.
But now's not for nothing. All you people that are trying to come up with new ideas and streaming stuff and Fubo Sports, Prime Video, even Max, like if you're good, you can get into MMA. You want to do like a 20-minute show, you know, before events start. Now's the time to do it, especially you got yourself a little promotion that has a following that folks want to see, you know, kind of, I mean, there's folks that want to see it succeed. I don't want the Bellator name to die. I don't want it to just go away. I think they can do something with the two brand names, at least for even if they are the one owner. So we'll see. I mean, it's kind of cool that the PFL, you know, they have their stuff on ESPN. And now Bellator is on Max, where there is no combat sports right now. So it's something they can definitely flex if they flex it right and not handle it like in the, moving forward outside of this week. Because again, that's news I feel like they shouldn't have sat on. Maybe the deal took a little while to finalize. Who knows? Nobody really knows what happens behind these closed doors when it comes to these folks. You know,
I mean, I'm not a marketing genius, but I would have offered a free week trial.
Mm-hmm.
Free first week trial for this week, you know, and watch our first event and subscribe, and you know, that's, you know, because there's not enough events. If there was an event every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I'd go, okay, this might work. But the span between all these events, I feel like, is going to be what's going to hurt it, because they're going to lose momentum. But maybe not. Maybe it'll allow the conversation to grow and talk about these fighters and stuff. But you know, it's on TV. I can't complain, because we were sitting. A week ago going, okay, you know,
where
I'm gonna be trying to watch it through Indonesia. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
Now, at least now there's a direct route to the United States or through a legal means of watching it.
Yeah. I know Elon Musk wants Twitter/X to be everything, you know, like an everything app, everything, and there's shows that stream on there. Like you know, that could have been something he could have jumped into, but he's probably, you know, losing money at this point. But one other question that Antoine asked about UFC 300 and Ryzen Bellator 2 on the way. Where do you guys think Bellator went wrong? And we actually talked about this. My opinion is that they didn't go with Scott Coker and Bellator. They didn't go wrong anywhere. It's the people that own them that went sour. And that's what I'm talking about, that the red face Bob Backish and just, you know, again, I've cited the Sunbeam Foods guy and Bob Backish, and how it's probably the same guy. He probably takes off a mask and it's that Al Dunlap guy where he's just shaving off things that they own so they can say we saved money this year because we closed half the store. So, but anyway,
yeah, I agree with that. And I don't think anything was wrong. I would say that the only thing they did wrong is they're not called the UFC. Like the UFC brand, the name, Dana White said it when they bought it. All he bought three letters. That's what they bought. That's all the UFC is. If all of the UFC fighters were in Bellator and all the Bellator fighters were in the UFC, you'd have the same fans that think the Bellator sucks saying that all the Bellator fighters in UFC are the best in the world. That's all it is. It's just the logo on the kit or the shirt or the cage. That's all that changes these things. These are still the great martial artists. And the cool thing about Bellator, not to go on too much of a talent, was that it wasn't the UFC.
Yeah.
They were the UFC of 2003. You showed up to the arena, you got to shake Cyborg's hand. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Fedor over there. Oh, there's Rory McDonald and Phil Davis and Kung Lee and Randy Couture and Hoist Gracie and Kimbo Slice and Julia Budd and Stefan Bonner and Tito Ortiz. I mean, these are those are all UFC people, but they're most of them, but they're all, that was what you got greeted with. That was, they had meet and greets. You go in, you see that. If you had a floor ticket for a Bellator event, you walked out of there. I mean, the amount of photos and people I was able to meet, from Herschel Walker, I mean, not, you know, to Douglas Lima, to Cormier, to the Diaz brothers, to Melendez family. Like, it's the amount of people that were at these events. It was a who's who. Almost all of their big events, and even their small ones out here, would bring out Dan Henderson and Marco Huas and Boss Rutten and Tito Ortiz. You know, it's like, that was what it was cool. It was the access that you used to have 20 years ago before the UFC blew up. It used to be a family. It used to, before it became a business, it was a family, and it was a big family of a bunch of drunks and white trash and whatever else you want to try to say what the old crowd was. But we were all a family, and that was, and we knew we were crazy. We knew we were into something that was wild, and it was the anti-establishment. You didn't, you know, you wanted to be big time, but you didn't, you know.
That's something I think that Scott Coker tried to keep until he was, for as long as he was, especially when they, like, when you look at him talk about martial arts and the history of martial arts and the relationship martial arts has with Hawaii, with all the times they went to Hawaii. I mean, that's one thing that he's just passionate about martial arts. It's just for folks that don't know, I mean, him and Gilbert Melendez, they're putting on some other show out in your neck of the woods too. Yep. I already forget what the Tech Fight at the Tech.
I don't know if SAP station, I think the SAP arena might have a new sponsor. Mm-hmm. So I think the SAP center might be changing. So, but it's at the arena in San Jose. Jessica Rose Clark, former UFC fighter, is on the card. It's a combo of kickboxing, Muay Thai.
Yeah. And that's, that was the next thing I was going to say. Like, people talk about one championship. Oh, I love how they do the different. Coker was already doing kickboxing and MMA. They even had the transformative, you know, cage ring, where they could switch up the events. He did the Dynamite events, which me and you loved. You know, I was trying to get him to talk about adding grappling to their YouTube channel, but, you know, this was literally towards the last quarter of 2023 where I guess they kind of knew the writing was on the wall, and he didn't seem too excited about the situation that he was in. I remember him saying, like, guys, remember, I'm the president, but he's like, I also work for Paramount. Like, this is my position. So I'm here until they tell me not to be, and that kind of sucks. I mean, that kind of sucks when you don't have when Kevin K, you know, Kevin K, just for you, I keep mentioning the name. That's the Spike TV guy that was really into having the Ultimate Fighter and all the seasons of, well, that's who started the Ultimate Fighter. Anyone that cites the Ultimate Fighter as their entry into MMA, you can thank him for that, because he was the one that was doing it at Spike. And that was someone that was passionate about the sport. So when you lose somebody that's with that passion, that was hooking you up to keep featuring the product, it just all falls apart there. Then you when you put corporate business minded like people, I mean, they're good at making money for themselves, but at the end of the day, and I'm not the only one that's feel like I know Amy Kaplan's talked about it. What about the fans over at Fansided? A bunch of other people are just kind of like, hey, you know, when are we going to know? We've all complained about being able to watch PFL events. It's just like, it's the Saudi backing that they have. It's just like, okay, it doesn't matter, because it looks like they got their Saudi money, and as long as they put on whatever they're contractually obligated to put on, they don't care how it's being, you know, marketed and stuff like that. I think they just need more fight and fan centric people now involved with the business moving forward. Especially, you know, you're about to start your PFL season. Like, it's time to stop dicking around and doing it like you're telemarketing it to some, you know, I don't know. It's just. I'm going on one of your rants, so let me stop myself.
No, I'm with you. And then the final thing that really hurt Bellator, it was COVID, the shutdown. They tried. They had their fight dome or whatever the heck they called it, but or the sphere. They tried, but they never rebounded, and it gave a company that had losing money a chance to bail on it, and that's what they did.
I'm wondering if because I know Mike Mazzulli is still there, like the people regulating overseas is still Mike Mazzulli and the Mohegan Athletic Commission. I'm wondering, you know, why Mohegan Sun wasn't on their radar for anything. Maybe they'll do PFL cards there. Maybe they're looking to do that, because that is a nice arena. I mean, not for nothing. It's a good sized arena. You know, they host basketball games and concerts in there, and
BKFC in the future, brother. And
BKFC in the very near future.
Yes. Heather Hardy, Christina Fahey.
I know it's the Saturday before Mother's Day, and I'm like, Jesus, there's no way I'm going to be able to get to do all that and come back, and my mother will never let me live it down if I try to cover a fight event on Mother's Day weekend.
Some of us have done it before, Ed. Some of us got on that early flight Sunday morning and headed home. Some of us have had to deal with the repercussions, but, you know.
Yeah.
And that was for Chet Congo versus Ryan Bader. I should be abandoned as a kid for doing that one. But anyways, I think that wraps us up. There is a rising card this weekend with Bukwa fighting on fighting like on the fifth card of the night. So if you manage to stay up, you know, into the early wee hours, you don't have to go all the way through the night, but probably an hour or two into the early Saturday morning, we'll get on the East Coast, you'll get Bukwa making his rising debut in a kickboxing match. So that's something pretty cool to see. Actually a pretty nice card for one of their landmark cards. So we need to start talking a little bit more Ryzen in the future, and
for sure.
Hopefully we'll work on that. We got BKFC Big Mega event in April. So some good stuff to look forward to. UFC 301 unfortunately doesn't look like one we're going to spend too much time on as of right now, but we'll see where that goes.
Of course there's a UFC Amanda Ribas versus Rose Namajunas.
It's
on ESPN this Saturday, so that's actually a nice little Saturday night fight for to keep
a good fight. Good headliner. Rest of the card's pretty average, but dang good headliner there. Mm-hmm. As Rose takes her second fight at 125 pounds. All right. Well, fans can follow the show at Combat Hour on Twitter, Coast to Coast Combat Hour on Instagram. Follow me, Matthew Hawkins, at MMA Hawk 21 on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Ed at Carbazal on Twitter, Carbbeersall on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. Thanks for listening, everyone, and have a good night.
Peace.